Good afternoon. My name is Richard Bush. I'm the director of the Center for Northeast Asian Policy Studies here at Brookings. And it's my great pleasure to welcome all of you to this special event. I told Prime Minister Abe that the fact that so many people have come to Brookings on a Friday afternoon when we have wonderful weather outside is a tribute to him and reflects the high expectations you have in his speech. But you don't want to hear me talk. I would like, therefore, to invite my president, Strobe Talbott, to come up and introduce Prime Minister Abe.
Thanks, Richard. You don't want to hear me talk either. But I do have the distinct honor and pleasure of welcoming all of you and, of course, Prime Minister Abe. His visit here to Washington underscores the importance of the U.S.-Japan bilateral relationship, and his visit here to the Brookings Institution underscores our institutional commitment, personified by Richard Bush, not only to the relationship between the United States and Japan, but also to the security of the Northeast Asia region, which is the focus of the policy center that Richard heads here at Brookings. I also want to extend a particular warm word of welcome to Ambassador Fujisaki, who is a personal friend, a friend of the institution, and a frequent participant, as is his wife, by the way, in discussions that we have here in this auditorium and other rooms here at Brookings. It was just a few days after the November presidential elections that Ambassador Fujisaki spoke in this auditorium on the following topic: a world in crisis, charting a way out. The crisis is still with us, and we are working together, the United States and Japan, to find a way out. And we are now going to hear recommendations on the course lying ahead from Japan's 90th Prime Minister. He is a statesman of great stature. His is a voice of experience and wisdom. He has been heard from for quite a long time, even though, as you can all tell, he is still a very young man. But he first served in the Diet at the age of 39, and he went on to serve in key roles at the right hand of two other prime ministers, Mr. Koizumi and Mr. Mori. As prime minister, it is significant, I think, that his first foreign visit was to China, and that was 3 years ago. And that visit helped greatly improve the atmosphere between Tokyo and Beijing. His visit to Seoul improved the bilateral relationship between Japan and the Republic of Korea. And by the way, it was also at a time when such improvement was very welcome indeed, since North Korea had just detonated a nuclear device. Prime Minister Abe focused his personal attention and the attention of his government on other regional and global issues as well, and those certainly included Iraq. Moreover, he has been a voice for forward thinking and enlightened thinking about the subject that's on all the world's mind, which is that of climate change, to wit, his Cool Earth 50 initiative, which calls for a 50% reduction of global greenhouse gas emissions by the year 2050. That was featured at the G8 summit in Hokkaido last summer. All of this, I think, speaks to the theme of his personal leadership, and that word, leadership, captures, I think, the topic of the address that he is going to give us today. He is going to speak to us about how to harness the search for bold, pragmatic solutions to political will, and that means the political will of individual governments, but also harness that search for solutions to the multiplier effect that derives from international cooperation of the sort that underlies U.S.-Japan relations. So, Prime Minister Abe, welcome to Brookings, welcome to Washington, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm extremely grateful to Strobe Talbot, President Brookings, for giving me this opportunity. And I would also like to extend my appreciation to Richard Bush and every one of his able staff for welcoming me here again. I'm glad to be with you all. Let me begin by touching on Iraq and Afghanistan. In January, I was in Iraq representing the government of Japan. I spoke with Jalal Talabani, President of Iraq, and other senior officials, and left the country with the strong view that the situation on the ground is improving steadily. Then I thought that this achievement, remarkable as it is, has only been made possible by the more than 4,000 men and women in uniform, those American soldiers who sacrificed themselves. I shall never forget that, and no one in Japan should ever forget that. True, it will take more time before the Iraqi people gain full independence. But they are moving forward, not backward. That much is certain. Now, as for Afghanistan, it has still a long, long way to go. So what I will tell you today is that I will do whatever it takes for Japan to do more to further the stabilization of Afghanistan. My country did provide financial support, and amount $2 billion was by no means small. Japan also played an important part in disarming Afghan soldiers. I am very much proud that more than 100 Japanese men and women, though not in uniform, are now in Afghanistan, building schools, helping Afghan teachers. Still, it is my hope that Japan does even more to work with Americans, Canadians, and members of NATO nations on the ground in the difficult terrain of Afghanistan. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is my second visit to Brookings. Last time I gave a speech here was 4 years ago in 2005. To end that speech, I quoted from Miles to Go, a book by Daniel Patrick Moynihan. The quote went like this: "Politics is almost always, in some measure, an argument about the future and persons claiming to be knowledgeable in this regard will almost always find an audience among politicians." For me, this quote means that you must have the courage to swallow bitter medicine if it is from someone really knowledgeable. I am engaged in politics only to build a better future for Japan and for the world. Now, as we stand in the middle of a recession that some call a depression, and as I look back over the 4 years since I was here last, the question to be asked is the following: did you listen carefully to the men and women who have the knowledge and the compass to map a better future? We must also ask ourselves, do we have the courage to swallow the bitter medicine, and above all else, do what we should do? Please remember, in my country, the bubble burst in 1990. We knew at that time that we would have to fix the banks and dispose of the toxic assets. But primarily, we did not listen to the wise counsel of those with the valuable knowledge, who were not necessarily few in number. More importantly, we did not have enough political will to put those measures into practice. Because to do so was just as unpopular a move as it is now in the US. So unpopular, in fact, that an entire decade was lost before a cabinet formed in 2001 and finally became determined to make the necessary reforms. Do you do or not do what you should? That's the question you should ask yourselves. The current economic crisis is said to be the sort of crisis that comes once in a century, and I believe that in the midst of this crisis, we are perhaps being excessively short-sighted. Of course, we have to address immediate issues such as mortgage problems and unemployment. However, statesmen also have an obligation to tackle tomorrow's problems. Statesmen have to build systems and projects that will allow their citizens to enjoy benefits over the long term and invest in those systems and projects. What is the key to such long-term systems? I believe that the innovation of technology is the most important factor. As Prime Minister, one of my goals was to make Japan once again a center of innovative excellence, hence my initiative called Innovation 25. It is a long-term strategy whereby until the year 2025, Japan should grow by technological innovation and productivity growth. This entails Japan's population is already declining, as well as aging. The labor force in Japan will decline further. In the face of these trends, there's no question that the only way to maintain our power is to improve our labor productivity through innovation. Japan should in no way stop investing into scientific research and research and development effort. If it wants to grow and prosper. That point must also resonate well among the Americans. However, I pushed the Innovation 25 initiative not only for the sake of Japan. It was also for the betterment of the world, as it is my strong desire that Japan's growth by innovation will help make the world a better place to live. This leads me to tell you of the other initiative I still hold dear. That is my plan called Cool Earth 50. If you ask men and women on the street today in which field innovation bears the biggest importance, the answer will most likely be climate change. For a long time, I have had strong faith in the importance of innovation to prevent global warming. That was the reason why I put forward the Cool Earth 50 initiative before the 2007 GS Summit in Germany. I had a double meaning, actually, reduce emissions by 50% by the year 2050, hence the name Cool Earth 50. That was, and still is, an extremely ambitious goal, and it will be impossible for us to achieve it until we cover many more miles in technological innovations. The responsibility for achieving this target, heavy as it is, will in the end fall on the shoulders of the Americans and the Japanese, as we are both more capable than anyone else of innovation. It was in 1903, as many of you may know, that the brothers Wilbur and Orville Wright succeeded in flying a powered airplane. But even 3 years later, newspapers around the world ran articles questioning whether they were flyers or liars. Still, they did not yield or give in. The strong heart and will that the Wright brothers had are the core ingredients that make innovators. This strength runs deeply in the blood and genes of many Americans, and I believe the same is true of many engineers and scientists working in Japan. You know that those in the retail business assert that what is important is location, location, and location. I would say that when it comes to the challenges against an aging society, against the declining economy, and above all, against climate change, what is important is innovation, innovation, and innovation. That was the reason why I used the word innovation many times in my proposal for Cool Earth 50. Indeed, the initiative will be a challenge against both climate change and declining productivity. I find a similar motive driving President Obama's program, the Green New Deal. And the similarity between the two reminds me how much we can do together to better the world as alliance partners. In mid-February, Secretary of State Clinton came to Japan. That was her first trip overseas after taking office. She said in Tokyo that she wanted to strengthen the alliance. I agree. We must work on that. She also said that she wanted to tackle not only bilateral issues, but also global issues. She then went on to say that cooperation would be required between the US-Japan alliance and China to tackle issues of global concern. I could not agree more. These three nations, the US, Japan, and China, three of the largest economies in the world, must join hands whenever necessary and with greater frequency than ever before to tackle issues of global magnitude. I was the one who made a fence mending trip from Japan to China. Indeed, Beijing was the destination I chose to visit first as Prime Minister. I can now admit it was fun to disappoint those pundits who had argued for some time that Shinzo Abe as Prime Minister would damage Japan-China relations. On the contrary, my trip laid the foundation for the bilateral relationship. That is win-win for both sides. The Japanese and the Chinese are now enriching what we call our mutually beneficial strategic relationship. I think that I did a job that was vital because, as I said just now, China must work with us. That being said, I must touch on the Chinese military build-up. I will not go into detail, as you have many experts at Brookings. I will say very little, for example, on their aircraft carrier programs or about what they are doing in the Pakistani port town of Gwadar. Look at the Chinese defense budget, which has been making double-digit growth without any break. Over the last 20-some years, the Chinese maintained initially that it was only to increase the salaries of the soldiers. But it has not been verified. I would like you to join me in saying to Chinese, what matters is transparency, transparency, and transparency. At any rate, for its neighbors, China poses great uncertainties. Its defense programs, economic management, environmental damage, and its society, which is being shaken by the mounting frustration of the poor population, are all reasons for concern. That is why Japan and the U.S. must invest more into our time-honored alliance, bound by the same set of common values, especially when our great neighbor, China, is undergoing such a shaky, transformative period of growth. I cannot end my speech without touching on North Korea. North Korea remains the biggest threat to security in our part of the world. Kim Jong-il, despite the warning we all sent him, shot the missile in a self-claimed attempt of launching a satellite. We cannot forgive the outrageous and provocative act of launching a missile over Japanese territory. I support an attempt to foster direct dialogue between the U.S. and North Korea. I do that on the ground that we stick to the core principles, such as to make the Korean Peninsula a nuclear-free area in verifiable fashion. We can by no means allow Kim Jong-il to call for brinkmanship diplomacy, and we must make no compromise on the abduction issue. Japan, for its part, will have no normalization with North Korea unless they send back to Japan all the abductees still alive and come clean on the fate that the rest of them had to face. The number of abductees totals 17. That is the number that the Japanese government has so far recognized. 12 of these victims have yet to return home. But according to the survey by an NGO in Japan, there are still many more Japanese men and women in North Korea that Pyongyang had kidnapped. Kim Jong-il must make clear how many abductees remain alive and send all of them back. I should stress all of them back to their home country of Japan. And to Kim Jong-il, I say this. Japan will simply never give in. Don't play games with us, as there is no room for compromise. But remember, you see incentives here. If you do what is right, you will be rewarded by the international community and by the region's most advanced economy, Japan. That is the incentive structure the US and Japan must work on to try to push Pyongyang onto the right track. In Tokyo, Secretary Clinton made it absolutely clear that the abduction issue should be part of the six-party process. I can tell you that in saying this, she touched the heart of the Japanese. Well, time is running up. Both Japan and the United States, as great democracies, can weather the world however stormy it is. In democracies, statesmen are a critical part of the system. They hear the vox populi and do what ought to be done, though it may be bitter rather than easy to digest. Therefore, the strong will of the statesman counts most. That is what I tell myself every day when I wake up. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Prime Minister, for that very illuminating speech. We now have about half an hour before the Prime Minister has to leave. And just a couple of instructions. If I call on you, please wait for the microphone and then identify yourself. As you can tell, the Prime Minister is very smart, so you don't need to ask a long and complicated question. You will understand what's on your mind. I want to give the first question to my friend, Chris Nelson.
Thank you very much, Richard, Mr. Prime Minister. Really interesting speech, particularly in the North Korea section, because as you know, we've really been focused on that. Two things from it, with your permission. You endorse direct bilateral outreach by the United States, and I'm wondering if you would have advice or things you need to see, things you would like to see take place, perhaps more coordination on sanctions from the UN, for example, things that have to happen before we could do that without causing a misunderstanding or backlash. And on the second part, you make an extremely strong reiteration of your policy and your government's policy on abductees. But that, in some ways, has been a difficult issue for American policymakers. Secretary Clinton agreed it should be part of, but perhaps there would be room for discussion of how much of a part before it becomes an obstacle to. And I think we'd all be very interested in how you would advise trying to bridge that gap, which did become a problem during the Bush administration. So.
Okay, I will answer in Japanese, please. まず、まず、米朝のこの米朝会談についてでありますが、先ほどスピーチで述べたように、米朝会談に対して我々は反対するものではありません。
Let me answer that on the first point. As I made clear in my speech, Japan is not opposed to the idea of direct talks between the United States and North Korea.
しかし、北朝鮮がですね、いわば日米をこの離反させるという意図で、米朝を進めるという、危険性がありますから、常にそのことは頭に置いておかなければいけません。
We must be aware, however, of the possibility, in light of past occurrences, that the North Koreans may be trying to drive a wedge between the United States and Japan.
そして、原則を大切にすることで、あり、核の問題について、完全に解決をするということで、あり、そしてまた拉致問題についても、完全に解決をするということであります。それに資する、日米の日朝の協議でなければなりません。
If there were to be direct talks between the United States and North Korea, the fundamentals must be adhered to. It will be important to work toward a solution for the nuclear issue, of the abductee issue, and if it's anything that can contribute to these, the settlement of these issues, then we would be in favor of talks between North Korea and the United States.
で、彼らは常に、ゲームをやります。独者協議に、出ないということで、独者協議に戻ってくれと、こう、国際社会が言えば、その時に条件をつける。あるいは、米国が米朝をやりたいという意欲を示せば、米朝をやると見せ、その代わり何か欲しいと。これが北朝鮮の典型的な外交姿勢であります。
You should also be aware that the North Koreans like to play games. They say that they will not return to the six-party talks, and then the international community gets all nervous and says, please come, and has to give them some sort of reward for attending. The same thing may be occurring, or we have to be aware that the same thing may occur with a dialogue between the United States and North Korea, which is to say that the North Koreans will promise to talk to the United States and then later may say, well, actually, we're not going to talk to the United States, and thereby try to get some kind of reward.
国連では、残念ながら、決議にはなりませんでしたけれども、厳しい声明を出すことができました。2つポイントがあって、1つは、北朝鮮のミサイル発射は国連の決議違反であると。いうことをはっきりとさせたことであります。もう一つは、決議をしっかりと各国は守らなければいけないということを改めて確認してですね、それを、再び、国連においてですね、この決議のが有効に各国で守られているかどうかということも確かめることになっています。
Another thing I'd like to say in this regard is about the UN. Statement. Unfortunately, it did not become a resolution, but there was a statement made by the North Koreans, by the UN. And what that made clear was that North Korea's launch of a missile was in violation of UN resolutions, and that each country must abide by UN resolutions. This served to reconfirm that understanding.
大切なことは日米が常に情報を共有し、認識を共有し、そして方向をですね、共有することであります。
And so what's important is that the United States and Japan should share information, they should have a shared mindset, and they should have that as the basis for common action.
そしてまた、拉致問題についてでも、ありますけれども、人数、先ほど コメントで述べたように、我々、政府が確認している人数は17名で回りますが、これはもっと多いのではないかと思います。しかしこれはいわばアブダクションを行った北朝鮮しかわからないという側面があります。
And then as far as the abduction issue is concerned, as I made clear in my speech, the Japanese government has confirmed 17 abductions, but there may be many more. It is only the North Koreans who know how many Japanese people they have abducted.
彼らが嘘をつけばいずれ必ず分かるわけであります。
And if they lie on this issue, at some point we will know what the true answer is.
6者協議の場においても、この問題がですね、解決をされなければ、北朝鮮にまつわるすべての問題が解決されたことにならないということがはっきりしています。
And what's clear is that as long as the abductee issue is not settled, there will be no settlement of issues regarding North Korea at the six-party talks.
オバマ政権が、この拉致問題の解決についても日本の立場を支持をしているということは私たちにとって大変ありがたいことであります。
And we're very glad to hear that the Obama administration supports our position on settlement of the abductee issue.
We're here.
Good afternoon, and thank you for your talk. You mentioned that the solutions to our economic problems are innovation, innovation, innovation. The last part of the 20th century in America, we had a tremendous amount of innovation, but we had problems with distribution of wealth and income. And if that continues to be the case, we never get a fair distribution of the benefits.And the inner circles of political and commercial interests seem to block a fair distribution. How are we ever going to get, I would suspect it's similar in Japan because it's throughout the world that way. How are we ever going to really get a system that's stable and fair for everybody so cost benefit is equal or somewhat equal across the populations?
Hello.私がイノベーションと申し上げましたのは、この現在のこの経済危機をですね、イノベーションで乗り切ろうということではありません。この現在のこの経済危機を乗り切っていく上においてはですね、まず金融不安のを取り除きですね、この収縮した経済を回復するために正しいある意味では財政出動を行っていくということではないかと思います。
Let me point out, as far as innovation is concerned, in my speech I talked about that, but I didn't propose that as a solution for the current economic crisis we're facing. This is more, the current economic crisis needs to be dealt with through financial measures, how to have a more stable financial industry, how to make sure that the economy does not retrench, and also fiscal stimulus will be important in this regard.
この私がイノベーションという言葉を使ったのはですね、日本の人口が減っていくわけでありますが、生産人口が減ったとしても一人当たりの生産性を上げていくことによって経済を成長させることができるという意味であります。
And what I wanted to point out with innovation is that in spite of the fact that the Japanese population is declining and therefore our working population is shrinking, we can maintain worker productivity by using innovation and that this can be used to bring about further economic growth.
そしてまたクラウス50の目標を達成するためにも、現在の技術だけでは可能であります。
And also in accomplishing the Cool Earth 50 goals,we need to have technological innovation.
現在の危機に対して、そして今我々では財政出動を行うわけであります。大きな投資を行うわけでありますが、私はこの投資を行う以上ですね、この将来において、例えば日本は競争、日本が競争力を失わない未来への投資、つまりイノベーションにも多くを投入しなければならないと思っています。
Mm. And so as far as the current financial crisis is concerned, we need to deal with this through fiscal stimulus, and also a lot of investment will be necessary. But I think what's important is that we invest in areas which will lead to, that will allow the Japanese economy in the future to not lose its competitive edge.
所得の再配分について言えば、これはそれぞれの国がですね、それぞれの国の選ぶ生き方において決めるべきだろうと思っています。
And then as far as the redistribution of wealth, I think that needs to be decided on a national level. Each country must decide, must choose what it will do about that issue.
私の日本においては、すべての人が年金に入っていますし、すべての人が健康保険、大体同じ健康保険に入っています。で、アメリカよりもより所得の再配分を強く行っていると言ってもいいと思います。
As far as my country is concerned, all citizens have retirement benefits available to them. All of them have health insurance. So I think that we have done more active income redistribution in Japan than the United States has.
しかし、こういう危機的な状況においてはですね、ある意味では国民にとってこうした厚いセーフティネットは安心感を与えることにつながっていると思います。
I think the fact that a comprehensive safety net is available to citizens, to the people, helps them to deal with the current economic crisis with equanimity.
これはなかなか難しいところで、これからやりすぎればですね、独立線を失うし、国に頼っていく気持ちが生まれてくると、また競争力も低下をしてくるということになってくるわけでありますが、このバランスが難しいんだろうと思います。
But it's a difficult balancing issue, really, because if you do too much for the citizens, then they will just become dependent on the government. They will not be independent, and they will that'll eventually lead to loss of competition nationally. So where to strike a balance is what's difficult.
Eric McBaden. Eric McBaden, the Institute for Foreign Policy Analysis. Mr. Prime Minister, maritime forces from the U.S. and Japan and from China all have a common cause, the piracy problem in the Gulf of Aden. Is that a signal that maybe we are looking to a future where we could have maritime cooperation among those three nations rather than an adversarial relationship?Is this a good signal or an aberration?
この、ソマリア沖の海賊行為においてですね、中国も軍艦を派遣をしておりますし、米国そして、最近日本も海上自衛隊を派遣をしました。そしてこういう、例えば日米中国で協力して、こうした国際的な問題に対応する。しかもこれは海軍のレベルでですね、お互いに共に汗を流すということは大変素晴らしいことだと思います。
In order to deal with the pirates off of the coast of Somalia, China and the United States have dispatched navies, and recently Japan also has dispatched ships from its marine self-defense forces. Perhaps this is a good thing, such that in that it will allow the navies of these three countries to work together. This will provide an opportunity for the United States, Japan, and China to cooperate in solving a or in dealing with a world problem.
さまざまな機会にですね、こうした協力が行われることは私は素晴らしいと思います。さまざまな機会に。
And I think that it will be a good thing if there are other opportunities in which this sort of trilateral cooperation can occur.
そういう協力を通じて、中国をより責任を果たす国としていくことが大切ではないかと思います。
And I think also it will be important that this sort of cooperation leads to a China that is more responsible. It's more of a responsible actor in the world.
Question right there.
My name is Andrew Shepard. I work at the State Department and worked at Embassy Tokyo during your prime ministership. So it's a pleasure to meet you. You've mentioned a lot of different issues about U.S.-Japanese relations and multilateral negotiation issues. There's going to be an election in Japan this year, and there's a legitimate possibility that the opposition party, Democratic Party, may come to power in Japan. So I would be interested in hearing your opinion on what kind of, if that was to occur, what kind of policy differences could we expect to see in the U.S.-Japanese relationship?
実は、今回たまたま民主党の前原前党首元党首も一緒に私と参りました。今の質問には答えるために彼を連れてきた方が良かったかもしれないと思います。It just so happens that Mr. Maehara of the of the Democratic Party of Japan, he used to be the leader, is in Washington at the same time, and perhaps if I had brought him here, he would be in a better position to answer your question.
As far as the
Democratic Party of Japan is concerned, to praise them a little bit, perhaps I could say that they have diverse opinions. But on the other hand, they don't have a solidified, unified voice that they speak with.
例えば、小沢党首はですね、在日米軍は第7艦隊以外はいらないとこう言ってますね。
For instance, the leader of the Democratic Party of Japan, Mr. Ozawa, has said that the Japan no longer requires the U.S. 7th Fleet.
第7艦隊以外、海兵隊も含めて全部出て行ってくれとこういうことですね。
In other words, what he was insinuating was that Japan would be okay if the 7th Fleet and the Marines were to leave.
As far as 7th Fleet is stationed in Japan, Japan needs no other U.S. forces to stay.
Mistake by the interpreter. Japan only needs the 7th Fleet, that it does not require the Marines to be stationed there anymore.
まあそこで、例えば私と来た、一緒にやってきた前原党首がですね、前原元党首がもし民主党政権になって総理大臣をやればえ、自民党とほとんど変わりがないと思います。
But I think that Mr. Maehara, who's also in Washington at this time, if he were to be prime minister in the event that the Democratic Party of Japan were to set up an administration, I don't think there would be much change in policy with me.
まあただ最近、最近というか今回の講演でですね、前原さんがトランスフォーメーションにおいてグアムへの米海兵隊のですね移転はやめるとこう言いましたから、 これは割と大きな変化なのかなと思いますね。まあこれはどういう意味で言ってるのか我々もよくわからないんですが、移転は行わないと。
I think that Mr. Hara made a speech in which he said that the Marines should not be sent to Guam, and that's a change in policy, and I'm not sure exactly what he meant by that.
どうなるかわからないということですね。なかなか予測が、どちらにしろ民主党の外交政策がどうなるか予測がつかないということです。In
other words, what I'm trying to say is that it's difficult to tell what the Democratic Party of Japan would do, especially on the foreign front, if it were to be elected.
Gentleman right there.
はじめまして、横川智弘と申します。まずはじめに前元安倍総理大臣殿にお会いできたこと、そしてこのアメリカまでの長旅のねぎらいと思います。どうもありがとうございます。My question is, I think the genuine state-holding initiative over the Middle East, South Asia, and Central Asia is Iran and China in terms of economics, not the U.S. So my question is, how do you think the U.S., I don't know, Japan should involve with the Iran and Pakistan or China, those stakeholders from now on.
As far as the countries that were enumerated, it's a question as to whether these are responsible stakeholders or not. But one thing I should point out is that Japan depends for much of its energy on the Middle East. And much of the oil that flows into Japan has to pass through the Hormuz Straits, the Indian Ocean, the southern and eastern China Sea. And these countries touch on these bodies of water where Japan's fuel passes through. So it's a matter of life and death for Japan, really, that these countries be stable and that Japan have a cooperative relationship with them. Among the countries that you referred to, there are economic sanctions now that have been placed on Iran, but many of the countries you referred to have been recipients of overseas development aid from Japan.
The gentleman right way in the back.
Hi, I'm Sean Dannon with the AFP News Agency, a journalist. I wanted to expand on your comments about China's military buildup. President Obama recently made a speech where he was calling for nuclear disarmament. Of course, that's a position Japan has long had against nuclear weapons. But is there a concern on the part of Japan about the current proposal, about the absence of potential future absence of a U.S. nuclear umbrella, particularly in light of China's rapid military buildup?
Japan has taken the lead in the United Nations in calling for the elimination of nuclear weapons and for disarmament.
一方ですね、アジアには冷戦構造が残っているわけであり、北朝鮮は核武装の野心を捨てていないわけであります。
On the other hand, in Asia, much of the Cold War structure is still in place, and the North Koreans have shown a zeal for attempting to obtain nuclear weapons.
日本にとって米国の核抑止力は極めて重要であります。
For Japan, the American nuclear deterrent has been very important.
その中で我々はオバマ大統領のプラハでの演説を支持をいたしております。
And so for that reason, we are in favor of the speech that President Obama gave in Prague.
先般バイデン副大統領とお目にかかった際にも、今申し上げた趣旨の麻生総理の親書を手渡しました。
And when I had the chance to meet with Vice President Biden recently, I gave him a letter from Prime Minister Aso that contained that sort of thought.
日本は唯一の核被爆国であり、核の廃絶がですね、究極の我々の目標であります。
And contained in that letter was a reference to the fact that Japan is the only country in the world that has ever been a subject of nuclear attack, and that Japan for a long time has wished to see the elimination of nuclear weapons from the world.
その意味で、オバマ大統領の演説を歓迎しております。
And for that reason, we welcomed President Obama's speech in Prague.
まずは現実主義的にですね、核軍縮を進めていくべきだと思います。その際、米ロだけではなくて、当然中国もですね、視野に入れた核軍縮でなければならないと思います。
And looking at this from a realistic approach, what's necessary is to work first on bringing down the stocks of nuclear weapons in the world. And in that process, it will be important not only to have the United States and Russia involved, but also to involve China as well.
そして核の拡散をですね、に対して、有効な手段を取っていくことも大切です。
And it will also be important to have an effective way to respond to the issue of nuclear proliferation.
そして同時に、今ご質問があったように、このアジア、東アジア地域においての米国の抑止力が損なわれてはならないと思います。
And, As you referred to in your questions, it will be important throughout this process to make sure that American nuclear deterrence not be damaged or not be adversely affected in East Asia.
核軍縮を進めていくこととですね、米国の核抑止力の維持、東アジアにおける維持は私は矛盾しないと思います。
So I don't believe that it is contradictory to work toward nuclear disarmament, but also to maintain U.S. nuclear deterrence in East Asia.
Mr. Prime Minister, I would like to ask the last question. You talked about basing future economic growth on innovation. A country that wants to do that must have a very strong foundation in education, science, research and development.What do you think Japan needs to do to improve in these areas?
今おっしゃった分野はですね、極めてこのイノベーションにとって必要な分野であります。
The areas to which you referred are very important in bringing about innovation.
安倍内閣において教育をですね、重要な柱といたしました。
In my cabinet, we looked at education as a very important area.
今後ですね、この教育分野に我々は投資を増やして、への支出を増やしていかなければいけないと思っています。また、大学がですね、非常に日本の大学は閉ざされた空間でありますが、もっと世界に開かれた大学にしていくことが重要だろうと思います。
So that was an important pillar of my administration, education. We're looking at increasing expenditures on education. One other thing we need to work on is Japanese universities, which tend to be very insular, very much closed to the rest of the world. We need to make them more open.
またそのリサーチ and development においてはですね、企業の支出が増えていくような、税制等の仕組みも行っていかなければいけません。
And we also need to encourage private companies to invest in areas that will bring about research and development.
そしてまたですね、教育もそうですし、研究開発もそうなんですが、日本のこの、そうした分野はまだまだ内向きであろうと、外に対して閉ざすこの傾向がありますので、より開かれた開かれていなければいけませんし、世界から研究者がですね、どんどんやってくるように、また日本の研究者が世界に出ていくように、そうしたものにしていく必要があると思っています。
And so as far as research and development education are concerned, still these areas in Japan are quite insular. We need to make them more open. We need to have more scientists from around the world come to Japan, and on the other hand, also have more Japanese scientists go out into the rest of the world.
Okay, thank you. We've reached the end of our time. I feel an obligation to ensure that you don't fall behind on your schedule. But I want to thank you very much for your very enlightening speech and your enlightening answers. I would invite the audience to give Prime Minister Abe a round of applause.
Thank you.